have thought I'd ever hear myself say that.
One of Shawn Michaels' feet hit the floor.
I know it's everybody but himself.
Alright, welcome once again to the Voice of Wrestling Rumble Rewind. Today I'm here with a very odd, we're doing it differently than I've done it with everybody else. Most people I've talked to, they've either been from the UK or Place B Nation, or I've talked to them on Skype. This time I'm doing it real life, damn it.
Oh,
because
we're going
sometimes wrestling fans have friends that are real, even though I didn't meet you in real life.
I would like to point out that this is not happening in a basement.
No, it's not. No, we are. It's cloudy, but
this is in a home that I own.
There's windows,
it's not my
yes.
mom's. It's
well,
like
I don't
a real
know about
live
that.
Adult place.
I don't know about that. Are we sure?
I think I could find the mortgage statement.
Okay, yeah, please do. Yeah, we'll be right back while we find the mortgage.
We'll have proof appended to the podcast here.
Yes. But anyway, I'm here with Sean Flynn, who's a longtime friend and avid wrestling fan. So we nothing to promote, so we'll get to that at the end. You got a Twitter account that we'll have to tell everybody about. But what we're going to do here is we're going to review the Royal Rumble 1994. And as I mentioned, we're going to do it a little bit differently because we are literally sitting here in front of it watching it. So Jeremy, we've made sure that you're not going to be able to hear it, so you don't have to get the WWE lawyers on us. Jeremy McDivitt doesn't have to come.
Please don't sue me, Mr. McDivitt. I have at least $12 in assets I don't want to lose.
Yeah, please don't. Yeah, the Voices Wrestling fund is if we lose all of our Google AdSense, what will we have left after that? So we'll have $25 left.
The t-shirt sales didn't make you millionaires
yet? No, not at all. Not yet. No, we're still waiting on that. But so what we're going to do is we're going to do kind of a live-ish, play-by-play-ish review or whatever. We're going to make it funny, though, so it'll be a little bit different than my other reviews, but I still think it'll be good. So anyway, Royal Rumble 1994, before we get into it, Sean, why did you pick this one? Was there just something particular that you liked about the 94 Rumble or just...
There's a couple things, actually. First off, when the project originally came up, I didn't know if we were doing just the Rumble match or the whole thing. And the thought of watching The Undertaker ascending to the heavens.
I would never do that again, yeah. I've done that
too made
many
times. Me so happy, because I haven't seen that. In fact, I haven't seen any of this, really, except for clips of the ending since it occurred in 94.
Nice.
But also, it's like, as I was thinking about it, I think you can make a case that this was one of the precursors to the Attitude Era.
Mm-hmm. Because, okay, all right.
At the end, I'm going to get to this at the ending, because I've been thinking about this. And my reaction to it, I think, really sort of shows what we were looking for. Because I'm a wrestling fan, 36.
Yeah.
So I grew up in the Hogan era, the NWA era. And, like, most of my friends grew out of it. But I kept hanging on through the dark years of the early to mid-90s. And at the end of this, there's a little hint of what we were all hoping for. And which came about in the next
Sparky
couple of years.
A.K.A. Bob Holly, a.k.a. Hardcore Holly.
Well, obviously.
Right,
I mean,
yes. You sorry to spoil it. But.
A race car driving wrestler was my dream for years.
And it finally became.
Yeah. And not only that, but to have a punny name to boot.
Yes. Thurman Sparky Plug. I don't know if at this point, we'll have to see when this one comes. So anyway, well, we'll kick it off here in just a second with the Royal Rumble. And as I mentioned, we'll really be kind of doing live-ish play-by-play. We'll just react to who's coming out or whatever. So feel free to watch at the same time as us. Don't do that. That'd be. Actually, no, that'd be actually a pretty cool idea to do that.
It would. It's like the riff tracks.
Yeah, so right now we're looking at Howard Finkel. No,
Howard Finkel has been staring at us for the last couple of minutes, and I think he's beginning to see my deepest secrets.
Oddly erotic somehow, but... All right.
My Howard Finkel fan fiction is on a whole nother part of the internet. I can't plug that
it's on
here.
The deep internet. It's on Bitcoins.
It's on the dark net. You used to be able to buy it on Silk Road. All right, let's
rest
fire this
Silk
up
Road.
Here. Where am I going to buy my missiles now?
Yeah, I don't know. So we got Fink. You mentioned you miss Fink.
I miss Fink so much. To me, that's the voice of big events.
Yeah, and he loved this part, too. The Rumble, explaining how the Rumble
so
worked.
So excited.
Like, this might go on for another 10 minutes, so...
Which is amazing, because you wouldn't think it would take that long to explain. Guys come in, they get thrown
out.
Well,
because he always, and the other Rumbles I did, it's kind of funny, because on this, like, he always, there's one, I think it's the 92 Rumble or something. He goes on for, like, 10 minutes or whatever. And then he finishes, and the gorilla goes, yep, over the top, and you're out of their match. And it was just like...
To be fair, 92 had a lot more to explain the title being up for grabs.
Yeah, and Fink went into all this detail, and then Monsoon just immediately was just like, yep, over the top, you're done. It was like...
Gorilla understood that brevity was useful.
It's like, wow.
Throw guy over, win match. Which is pretty much Gorilla's career in a nutshell for a long time.
All right, so I forgot to look up where this one's emanating from. Usually most of my podcasts I was looking
94,
up.
Was that Hartford?
I don't know. I know WrestleMania was in.
May have been Hartford.
Anyway, we got roided up Scott Steiner coming out to the ring first in his
oh my God, so much hair neon.
Too. Yeah.
That's one thing I definitely miss about the mid-90s.
Yeah.
It was like the and city well of Miami exploded onto everybody's singlets.
Singlets, too. Nobody rocks the singlet
no.
quite. So it's got Steiner out, and this is a short run for the Steiner Bros. They weren't in here very long, but...
God, I was so excited when they first came here, and...
Uh-oh, Samu. With Afa, and he is barefoot, of course, being Samoan, and...
Does Samoa even have shoes?
No, they don't, no. And they also, the old headbutt thing, too. I'm sure that'll play in at least, like, 6 or 7 times where people will headbutt him, but it won't work, because...
Well, Samoan. I don't know if you know this, but in Samoan grammar schools, there's actually classes in headbutting. That substitutes
okay.
for PE.
Oh, well, then there we go, so...
You just headbutt things and... Oh.
I should make a note here that this Royal Rumble, 90 seconds is the entry time for all these. So before we had seen a lot of 2 minutes, they eventually went back to that. 95 the year after, they went to a minute, which is just insane. It's just so fast. So this one's 90 minutes, or 90 seconds, though. 90 minutes, maybe. Iron Man matches for everybody.
The 1 minute Rumble really fit with these sort of hyperkinetic MTV jump cut.
Well, and the other thing too with that Rumble is because I reviewed that earlier today when we were recording this, and it was just like the roster was so bad that like you didn't really even need these guys to be out. I mean, did you really need like Mantar to be out like any longer than he was out? Like you don't.
I need more Mantar in my life at all times. Frankly, I'm a little annoyed that he didn't appear with El Torito on the old school.
Yeah.
Raw. They could have had him as his father.
The only Spanish word Vince McMahon knows, El Torito.
That's not true. He also knows Matador.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Just as Tito. Providence. This one was in Providence.
Providence, Rhode Island. Okay. In the Providence Civic Center?
Yes.
All right. I have no idea if it's still around. I think so. Because I doubt Providence had enough economy to build a new stadium. So.
Maybe they sold naming rights, though.
A little, That was a pretty stiff clothesline. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's only fair, because God knows if you're dealing with Scott Steiner.
It's probably retaliatory.
Yeah, that's got to be a receipt.
At least 3 times already, so. There, we got the countdown going.
He didn't dump on his head. Is there a more exciting thing than the Royal Rumble countdown?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
Every person has the chance to be a huge surprise.
We got Rick Steiner. Speaking of huge surprises. Adjusting the headgear. Yeah, there was one year where they didn't have it, like, I think it was 88, where they didn't have it. Nobody in the crowd could see the countdown, and it really takes away from it, because it's so cool to just see everybody in the crowd. It's like, oh, yeah, 5. Like,
yeah, the early Rumbles, they really...
Scott are not in a real hurry. His brother's about to be, like, throw it out.
Actually, that is him in a hurry.
I guess so, yeah. Well, there's a stiff shot.
Man, he looks stoned.
Yeah, what's going on with
Rick
Steiner?
Oh, my God. I'm pretty sure we're watching this at normal speed. But
yeah, did you... I don't know if
The combination of Rick Steiner, Scott Steiner, and Samu... It'll make you question if you're looking at, like, 15 frames per second here.
Yeah, something is not right about this. We have Vince McMahon and Ted DiBiase on commentary. We can't really hear him too much, so unfortunately, as much as everybody loves my Vince McMahon intricacies...
Well, feel free to do any Vince McMahon moments.
They're probably all the same
here.
Stuff anyway. It's probably just back body drop.
What a maneuver!
Yeah, that's a suplex, but I don't know what that's called, so what a maneuver. And I'm sure we'll get it when Greg Kabuki comes out and various other Japanese guys that he has no idea what to. Tenryu comes out later.
That's
we might have to turn that up just to see what he says about Tenryu and hear his music, because that's the best part. Because it's either flutes or the Orient Express music.
I was going to say, it's got to be the Orient Express music or Yokozuna music. Vince McMahon would be a great social studies teacher.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be very educational, but it'd be a very easy class to pass. So the quizzes would just be, what do we know about these people? Samoa, hard head. Japan, salt. Sneaky.
Oh, wow. Samoa.
Ow.
Jeez, that's a terrible spot. Yeah, he just
Samu just hangmanned himself.
Yeah. Oh, it's Harvey Whippleman and Quang. It looked like Vader if he lost like a
toy. I got excited, but then it's like, wait a minute, Vader was still in WCW at this time.
So are they going to eliminate Samu, or are they just going to let him... Is he out? We don't know. The camera shot.
Did we ever see Samu again after this?
No, he died. Oh, green mist.
Yes!
Japanese people have missed. I should note that Great Muta was in WCW at this point, not that this character has anything to do with that, but...
Man, he was lazy in WCW at this time, too.
Muta, yeah.
This was the 94...
martial arts expert Quang, because he's Japanese and they do martial arts.
Well, it's a little known fact that as long as you move your hands back and forth a couple times before you do a move... It immediately makes the impact 50 percent worse.
Obviously, this is Savio Vega at this point. I remember I was reading one of the back issues of the Observer, and he thought that Taz was Quang. I thought that would just be...
Taz would have been great as Quang. He would have been 8 inches shorter and just so angry.
Not as fat. Why is Savio Vega so fat right now?
Well, I mean...
Wasn't he thinner later?
He was a Caribbean legend, so he didn't really feel the need to stay in shape.
Steiner's down. I don't know what Rick Steiner's doing, dude.
Rick Steiner is so... he got misted.
That was just... They made him do that because...
But he's been acting this way the entire match.
Yeah, the mist has not changed much of what Rick Steiner's been doing. Oh, he just got...
It's not like Rick Steiner was, after about 1990, was a very fast-moving guy, but he seriously looks like he's...
Yeah, he's stoned or
drunk
something.
Or stoned or something.
Here, I got the countdown coming up. It is Owen Hart.
Oh, man.
And this is earlier in the night. He turned mega heel at this point. This is when he kicked his leg out
from under his leg.
Indeed, yes, he did. Definitely an awesome year for Owen. In-ring.
So good.
Really kind of that character, too. And I was talking with other people. I think 95, 96, I think, was his peak, though, because I thought he was just, like, the number one heel in the company, and then people just hated him so much. But this one, I mean, not to take anything away from 94, though. I mean, 94 in-ring, like, from the Rumble all the way to the end is awesome. I mean, you have two really spectacular matches with Hart, Bret Hart, rather. So.
The thing is, in 94, he was playing such a hateable heel, but by 95, 96, he was becoming so goofy as a heel that it became almost likable.
Yeah, yeah, in
once
a sense,
he started stealing the Slammy Awards.
That's always a fun.
It's like, I mean, I remember I was at WrestleMania 13 here in Chicago, and the crowd loved Owen at that point. I mean, he was one of the biggest favorites on the card, even though he was still technically a heel at that point.
And that WrestleMania 13 card, I unfortunately couldn't go. My mom would not let me, because I had a friend that tried to invite me. But in the old days when I was 13 and my mom dictated what I did, I was even I think I might have been 11 at that point, yeah. And I was like, hey, Joey wants me to go to WrestleMania. And she's like, no. I was like, oh, okay. Well, no, never mind. I wasn't that big of a fan then, so I didn't really get that WrestleMania was like... a big deal. I just thought it was like what the show was called. So,
that was the year where the benefit of being a wrestling fan when no one else liked wrestling really was good because being
easy.
All by myself, I was able to get a seat about 13 rows from the ring.
Bart Gunn out next. I forgot to announce. No, we don't need to talk about Bart Gunn. So let's talk more about WrestleMania.
Let's talk about WrestleMania 13.
Let's talk more about an event that's
Bart
going
Gunn
ahead.
Just is not
getting ready for that brawl for all with those punches there. So.
Although he's really rocking a sort of Magnum TA sort of vibe here.
He's like a Magnum TA and British Bulldog from the 1999 when he came back with the boots tucked into the, or the jeans tucked into the boots.
He's lacking a nice poodle mullet, but otherwise he could totally be lounging on
a
motorcycle. He does, but it's not curly enough.
Okay.
Otherwise he could be seriously throwbacking to about 1986 here.
Right now we're at the mullet count of 3, I believe. There's 4 men in the ring, by the way. I don't know if Owens is technically a mullet, though. It's just kind of long.
Yeah, it's Canadian. I mean, Canadians...
And what do you count Scott's? Like, Scott's kind of got, like, a Bozo the Clown fro thing going on. It's just kind of out. It's like a blowout. He looks like an 80s woman, but...
Yeah, that's it. It looks almost like an 80s
woman, too. But.
Now, see, if you put Scott Steiner's hair...
And Rick Steiner got eliminated by Owen Hart because he needs to go throw up in the back. So
I don't know if he so much got eliminated by Owen Hart as he stumbled near the ropes and just couldn't hold on. He may have been scheduled to win for all we know.
Like, oh, damn it. Son of a bitch.
There it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you put Scott Steiner's hair here on Bart Gunn, you would totally have a 1980s Southern heartthrob wrestler. he'd be teaming with a Magnum TA against the Koloffs. Yeah, WrestleMania 13 was great because I could get seats all by myself for cheap, and I got to see Steve Austin.
I think I was 11, so I probably wouldn't like that Steve Austin, but I'd be like, this is too long! Why is this match so long? All right, we have Diesel now. This is before, this is still, also it's going to add to our mullet count.
Oh, yeah.
That might be the top one in the ring right now.
This is a historic moment, though.
For what reason?
Because this is where the Diesel push ends.
Right,
it's
Diesel
begins.
Push. You're right. I was like, what the hell?
For the last 20 years, when you're speculating about the Rumble, it's the second question you ask. Who's going to win? Who's going to get the Diesel push?
Man, that mullet. That's good.
It's amazing.
That is good. He never had that again. I remember even up to like WrestleMania, he sort of got rid of it. But this is the zenith of
He always had great hair, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing about the Click. That's why it's surprising that Shawn Michaels was able to lead it, because most of the Click had great hair. I mean, they
Clay Waltman.
they were the Troy Polamalus of wrestling.
Are you going to count Justin Credible or PJ Polanco in that? He was a pseudo Click member, but he was a mentor.
I don't know. Can I get the 20% off at Olive Garden if I do? I'm all you can eat breadsticks or just story incredible.
PJ, I'll tell you after. Nobody cares. I'm not even going to tell it. Nobody cares. But all right, Diesel just whipped out Bart and Scott Steiner.
That pretty much shows you where Scott Steiner was.
Yeah.
On the
it is pretty funny, though, at this point. He just tossed Owen out.
Owen hurt.
Owen's gone. Guy in Jets sweater. Loves it. Quang.
I think Quang's going to hold on here. Diesel.
Oh, man.
If he'd hit him with that kick, Diesel's mullet would have fallen
over.
Off.
And, oh, no. Diesel's cleared the ring. The fans are into it. He's over. Some guy has a Let's Get Ready to Rumble sign that in the Hulkamania font.
And at the time, I'm pretty sure... Backlund. Oh, my God, it's Bob Backlund.
For his every year surprise entry into the Royal Rumble. I don't know if this was technically a surprise at this point. He was still always going for the ground game. I like it.
Yeah.
Going for the ground game.
It's hard to believe that both of these guys would be WWF champion during this 12 months.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. It's a story. Yes, Diesel's still technically the bodyguard at this point of Shawn Michaels, but it was at least, like, by WrestleMania, they were to start to hint a breakup, and then SummerSlam, that it was even more, and that was in Chicago as well. I don't know if you went to that show. I did not.
I didn't.
I was, like, 8 at that point, or, like, I was even, I don't even know what the hell, how old I was, but yeah.
I just remember being really excited that Walter Payton was involved.
Sweet. Can't wait. Razor Ramon. But yeah, that's, so he's still the bodyguard at this point, but then, yeah, it would be Survivor Series 94 when he would, oh, well, Backlund's out of the ring now, too.
Backlund not being the longevity man this year. As he
they
don't, the
they
year
have
before.
Never really... I've not watched all these kind of in chronological. There's never been a guy, as you mentioned, the quote-unquote Diesel push, and there's a reason they call it that, because I've watched these all. There's not a single other one where this guy, like, goes in there and just completely... There we go. Okay, all right.
Okay. There was a year where Kane eliminated about...
Yeah, 2001. I haven't watched that one, but yeah, he gets out 11. Yeah, he gets out 11 goods, which I haven't seen in a while, so I'm interested to see how that is, because Diesel, even in this one, is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Only 6, and that's like the, oh my god.
Yeah, it's just the speed that he threw him out. Yeah, the fact that it's like he comes in and just... a knot.
Billy Gunn, also with the stash.
Wow.
Also with the mullet, so we're back to 2 out of 2 mullets, so that's good.
Okay, I'll be honest. I wouldn't have recognized Billy Gunn there.
No, he's got like brownish hair. It. Yeah, it's not really like the blonde Billy Gunn.
He seriously looks like some sort of refugee
and,
from
well, that's gonna hit. So okay, well,
that was fun, Billy.
It looks like a Magnum TA like fan convention or something going on at the.
I'm pretty sure Dusty Rhodes was booking this role.
God, that mullet, Diesel. Jeez. I was pseudo alive. Uh-oh, Lex Luger's been beaten up in the background. Oh, this is at 9:49 Eastern Time. I don't know why. It's the Kabuki and Tenryu. Those damn sneak attack Japs.
I believe what you mean to say here is it was a Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, Pearl Harbor. I'm sorry, yes. Kabuki just...
Which I just recently discovered is...
Tony Correa and, like...
I discovered recently that is not appropriate to say in public.
Really? No? People don't like that?
No. Yeah. Apparently, wrestling is not good training for
how to
for having any sort of social mores. The amazing thing is Diesel is blown up here already.
Yeah, he's pretty well ready to...
I mean, he's trying to look menacing as he does his big, deep breaths. Yes. But you can see he's like, I'm gonna get someone. Dear God, I need a break.
I can't imagine the mullet. I mean, that's what I was talking about before we saw the Lex Luger attack. Is like, I can't believe people actually thought that was a good... Like, oh, Virgil. Oh, wait, hold on. I shouldn't get off into tangents here. This could be huge. This is Virgil, and he's changed his trunks up a little bit. He's now wearing black and white trunks, so getting ready for that job at Foot Locker. Or to be, what was it? So he was
trying Shane, to promote racial equality.
What was the other in WCW? He was, Vincent.
Yeah,
and
it was
Shane.
Vincent, yeah.
And Shane, because ha, 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 ha. Get it?
Petty fights between
promotions. And then we're going to have IRS coming in. He's going to be VK Wall Street. Because Vincent Kennedy is Vince McMahon's first and middle name, in case you were unaware. Virgil getting more offense than Virgil ever deserved. He's out of the ring now, but the very fact that he got like 2 seconds of offense is fascinating. So
he sells 3 8x10s on his way back, you know.
Oh, Virgil.
How much do you think it would cost to get Virgil to sit in on one of these?
Not much. Yeah, do you want to see?
I mean, I'd put up $20 if we could just have Virgil hanging out here in the middle.
You probably got to order a pizza.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't work for fruit.
No,
for,
with Canadian bacon, food. Too. He feels like a Canadian bacon guy, too. So.
I bet he's one of those jerks who wants pineapple.
I like pineapple. Thank you.
Jerk.
He's So now we got a lot of downtime. So hey, so how's the
life? Kevin Nash seriously needs a minute and a half between each elimination.
Yeah, they had to do this.
He threw three forearms and walked quickly towards the ropes with his hand behind Virgil's head.
And now he
blew up.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash lives in a home that's worth more than we will both make combined in our lifetimes.
That's Thank you.
Life's not fair.
Thank you. I'm gonna go kill myself. All right, I can't tell who it is because we got the longest camera shot ever. Oh, it's
Macho Man. The match.
That might have been benefited by the looking at the crowd reaction and or listening to the music, which we didn't do. So nice outfit for the Macho Man through his glasses.
Also, I don't know when Macho started dressing like a chick out on the town in Vegas.
Yeah, man, the Macho thing. I was talking with someone about that too. It was just like they were like, "Oh, I like it because he owns it because it's like Macho, and no matter what he wears, he kind of owns it." But, yeah, man, what is he wearing? Like he's wearing like a. The tassels were a bit much.
It's pink. It's got leopard print.
Yeah, God. What were you people doing in the...
He seriously looks
like... I'm counting you as these people, because...
Because
I was still very young at this point, so when I was wearing starter jackets, it was not my choice. my San Jose starter jacket...
I can assure you, I have only worn pink and leopard print on a few occasions. That was long after the 94 Rumble.
Okay, all right.
After I reached drinking age. But yeah, he definitely, I mean, he's Macho, so he owns this enough that if the Macho wants to wear pink and leopard,
let the Macho
wear. He can wear it, and it's great.
I'm just always a big fan. I've always been a fan of the, before that, the just the straight kind of trunks.
Oh, yeah.
Macho or whatever.
And
I mean,
he had the shortest damn trunks.
Yeah, they could have been a little bit longer than that, but you know.
I mean, that's the thing. I was watching an old match from like the 86 Madison Square Garden, and he had shorts that looked even worse than, like, the old NBA shorts at the time. it was... I'll be honest, I felt a little aroused watching it.
Uh-oh. Jeff Jarrett. In one of his 13 runs in WWE. I had no... I guess this is still the... This is the beginning of the... Oh, because he came out earlier in the casket match.
Yeah,
or whatever.
He was
I forgot
involved.
About that. So this is the... This is an Ain't I Great one, or it's the soon-to-be Ain't I Great, but this is like the kind of the pre-roadie.
Yeah, he was before
one.
He really developed much.
What the hell
of
did he do for the first year? Because 95, I know he did a bunch of stuff. What the hell did he do this whole year?
I don't think much of anything. He was just kind of there because
this
they
must
were
have
still...
just been USWA talent.
Yeah,
thingy,
I mean,
right?
he was definitely an actual full-time roster member, but he was pretty pointless around this time.
Well, he just knocked Savage out, so he just got over on Savage. Now he's strutting, as only he can. He's going to the top rope. This should end pretty well. Diesel would love to enjoy trying to help out, but he's currently sweating his ass off in the corner.
Yeah,
that's also legit, too. It looks
he
like,
hasn't moved in over 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's straight legit, because you can tell he's breathing heavy. Oh, Jarrett with another strut.
I can't even imagine what Kevin Nash must have been like as a basketball player.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming Hashim Thabit seems like an appropriate comparison.
I think like five people that listen to this is actually going to get that. But that's good. All right.
Those five, though, will be so happy. All
right, trying to strut again. Knocks out. Yeah, oh, gets
you can't
a
strut that many times.
And Jarrett is out of there.
Give him credit. He took a heck of a bump going
That's a good bump.
There.
So
he
there
gave
you go, Jarrett.
Some
Jarrett gets a good day. We have had a lot of men. There has been, looking at the numbers here, we got 41 seconds, 14:32. Jarrett somehow got a minute 19, I guess. Oh, Crush. Japanese synthesizer. Sympathizer, not synthesizer. That'd be more interesting, but he's already blown up, too. He ran to the ring, so that should be just about it for Crush.
I went to Nitro back in 99 at United Center.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, at the time, it all seemed fun. There was lots of noise, and but that was when... It was back when when he was teaming with Brian Adams as Chronic.
Yeah.
And I was with a couple of my friends, and we were on an aisle right near the back, of the entryway. And after the match, because they were both extremely orange by that point, like pumpkin-colored, and we were taunting them and yelling at them, just like you do, and suddenly Crush and Adams start walking up the aisle.
Oh,
they
God.
Were out of camera range. I've never seen a group of people scrambling to see who could be the quickest to get out of the way in my life. I mean, I'm...
What ended up becoming of it?
They went about halfway up the aisle, and after we all scrambled away like the cowards that we are, they just pointed
they just
and laughed
that,
at
yeah,
us. It was like, I respect that, though. That was some good heel work.
Yeah, thank you, Crush.
They weren't on camera. There was nothing to be gained.
Mullet count, we're back at two out of three, actually. I'm not going to count Savage. Savage doesn't really have a mullet, but Crush has definitely got a really good one. So
Crush has an excellent mullet. Savage has got that weird bald guy mullet starting to happen there.
Kind of a skullet, the beginning of a skullet, but not quite there.
Yeah, it's pre-skullet. It's...
Oh, doink.
Well, then.
With ding. Speaking of skullet...
Do we count that as a mullet?
No,
there's really
no
business in the front. There's just party in the back.
It's just all party. Dink. Jesus. What happened to Savage? Oh, Savage got eliminated during that. And they didn't even show it.
The hell? Savage is out of the ring. I'm hoping we'll get a repeat of that at some point.
Did they even do replays at this point? I don't even know if they did.
I don't know if that technology existed at this time.
I mean, it took them like 2 minutes to load a replay of... Well, I don't want to spoil it, but towards the end of this, you'll see. Doink's just laughing in the corner. This Crush is in between Kona Crush when he was just a Hawaiian surfer boy, and then when he legitimately got arrested for having illegal handguns and steroids, and then became Jailbird Crush when he came back.
Crush was a really scary man.
And then there was DOA Crush, and then nobody cared, so. And then there was Bryan Adams because you screwed Bret Hart, and I'm pissed, Crush. So.
And then there was Bryan Adams who came back to WWE during the invasion and got that one match squashed.
Yeah, that match is hilarious to watch. Like Undertaker and Kane, clearly, like he does something, like he misses a spot or something, and Undertaker at some point is just like, all right, screw this, like I don't care. I just start stiffing him, doesn't give him anything, starts no selling, just completely like, all right, get out of my company.
Yeah, it was Acolyte's level.
Yeah, just get out of here.
Stiffing there. Diesel and Crush are now double teaming Doink.
Yeah, this hardly seems fair.
This pretty much is the early 90s in a nutshell, yeah, right here.
He did spray water.
He did.
So, to be fair.
This is the new generation summed up in one moment. Vinny Vegas and Crush are beating up on Doink.
Vinny
and
Vegas,
Bam Bam Bigelow's coming
Oz
down
and
to the ring.
Crush are beating up on Rey Apollo.
And probably the best wrestler in the entire group is Luna Vachon, leading Bam Bam down to the ring.
Hey, no, I'm a big Bam Bam guy.
This is true.
See that guy in the front row with the mullet? He loves it. Fucking, yeah, Bam Bam Bigelow. So they let... Oh, because they got the feud. Okay, because I was like, why are Diesel and Crush just going to let him? You know what would be more effective, guys? If all three of you, but... Okay.
Which one of these guys do you think has the cardio to do any unnecessary movements right now?
Well, how much coke did the other two?
More than you could possibly imagine. Oh.
Oh, Doink taking...
Doink taking the press slam bump over the top there.
Landing on his knee. Oh, no, they're trying to take out...
There is no honor among thieves.
Man, there's two dead guys in the ring right now, by the way. Not to take a lighthearted...
Well, I mean, in a Royal Rumble, that's actually a pretty low count.
Really. I guess so, yeah. We'll have to do a death count afterwards.
Bam Bam's head tattoos look very unpronounced here.
Yeah, he must have gotten them redone.
It might be, maybe it's just the YouTube feed or something.
Yeah, it might have been that. But I know they look pretty, because, like, I remember that WrestleMania against Lawrence Taylor. They were up there.
Yeah,
he must have gotten redone. Oliver Humperdinck paid for him to get him done originally, and then... Do you think he had that going in, and then they just had to, like, work gimmicks around him? I don't know.
No, he did have it, because I remember back when SI actually did a feature on him back when he was still at the Monster Factory with Larry Sharp.
Oh, wow, okay.
Because it's funny, do you know where his debut match was?
I don't.
Studio 54.
Oh, jeez. Okay. So that's where he got the coke habit from.
Exactly.
We see, we have Mabel. Speaking of cocaine, no, I don't know. I'm sorry, Viscera, Mabel, Nelson, 19.
There's really one important question that I've never properly had answered.
Mo? Is it about Mo?
It's about Mo and Mabel. What was the mission?
Oh, the Met on a mission? Just a mission to have fun, I think. Just to wear purple and...
I feel like I would really like that to be clearly elucidated. And why did PN News never find a way to join them?
Yeah, that would have been nice. Yeah, I think it was just a way to have, like, white kids in Providence go, hey, oh, and try to do, like... Maybe it was for Naughty by Nature. It was, like, a Naughty by Nature street team gimmick or something. I don't know.
See, that would be a fun gimmick. A wrestler whose entire job is just promoting another wrestler. I mean, you get lackeys and all that, but I want one who does nothing but go around and try to...
It's a Vince McMahon wet dream right now. We have Crush, Kevin Nash, Mabel, and Bam Bam. We need, like...
There's one thing missing.
A WBF guy?
No. Well, that would help, too. Some giant roid monster, but mostly, we need a hillbilly.
That's true, yeah.
We need a hillbilly, and a Samoan would be useful.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean, even though I'm not sure Vince actually knows the difference between black people and Samoans.
No, he doesn't. But that's all right.
Should explain why headbutts...
Or Samoans to Japanese people, he also believes they're...
Well, Asians is Asians.
Oh, there's Thurman. Surprisingly not the worst ring attire we've seen so far in this event. I mean, really up there, definitely.
You know, it's amazing.
But he's allowed to have the checkerboards, because...
It's like a checkered flag.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal, because his name is Sparky Thurman Plug, which is kind of like STP.
No, see, it's funny, because it's not, and that's the thing that's the most annoying about it, is it's Thurman Sparky Plug, when they could have easily just made it Sparky Thurman Plug.
This is true.
To make it STP, but I think they wanted the Sparky Plug... thing, because that's important. Providence Sinus Center.
Sparky Plug.
Clearly, nothing's going on in the ring, so let's do the cutaway to show you the arena.
Every time you see Bob Holly in the mid-90s, you understand why he became so angry later on.
Yeah, I'm surprised more people didn't just... You see why he just stiffed guys and was a total asshole.
He's just like, Daniel screw
Pewter.
This. Like,
you know what, Daniel Pewter, I'm going to beat the hell out of you, because I had to be Thurman Sparky Plug, so... Oh, and now everyone's teaming up to get Crush out of the ring. I don't know. Okay, there's just a giant morph of...
There is... Okay, how are these ropes holding up to this?
I don't know.
There is legitimately almost 2,000 pounds laying on there.
Then they all broke away. It didn't really work. Ooh, martial arts from Crush. He did the open hand to the...
Well, he hung out with Asians, so that means he knows Asians.
Yeah.
There's martial arts osmosis
at work
here. Mr. Fuji's
an announcer, so I'm sure he learned quite a lot from...
Man, could you imagine if an indie ring tried to hold that much weight there?
Oh,
there'd be 15 less podcasts on the internet. It's Shawn Michaels with
the best mullet.
Amazing mullet.
Is that the winner so far? Best mullet so far?
I think that might be the winner forever.
Does Thurman have a... Thurman's got a pretty big one. Oh, wow. Okay. That one's tough to ever top. That's like... It's down to... It's past the shoulder blade. That's impressive.
That is seriously 80s hair metal band.
Okay, so he's pleading with Diesel right now, because obviously, as I mentioned, they're the bodyguard, so he's just going to go to the top rope. It's a good place to go.
Now he's taller than Diesel.
But he's trying to do the handshake. Oh, yeah, the handshake. Okay. Everyone's good. Oh, no. Now we're all teaming up on Diesel. This is not going well. Diesel's gone, yeah. And I think, yeah, like, there you go. So that's 17 minutes for Diesel. But obviously had a huge run. But here, I think this is where you start seeing a little bit. Because right there, Shawn Michaels obviously didn't go and help him when he showed
exactly.
up.
Exactly. This was the seeds of that.
And you had Bigelow, Mabel, Plug. Thurman. Sparky. I don't know what to call him. Every one of those ones sounds awful on their own. And then Crush all sort of threw him out there. But yeah. Man, talent level at this
time. It's not the worst, but it's hard to believe that there's anyone in this ring who you would 20 years later be like, this is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Yeah, yeah. And that's Crush, of course. Well, you're speaking of Thurman Sparky Plug.
Crush is dead, right?
Yes, yeah. Crush dead, Bam Bam dead.
Because are both members of Chronic dead?
No, I think Brian Clark's still around.
Is Brian Clark still kicking it?
Yeah, I think so.
I'll be.
I could be wrong. Oh, yes. Mo. Oscar will not be making an appearance of the Men on a Mission.
Was Mo 70 or so at this point?
I think, was that Oscar that was the old one? Or Mo? I don't know,
because Mo looks like he's about 70 here. I mean, I'm sure part of it is the goatee, but he just has old man head.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I thought one of them was like, oh, no, Oscar. No, Mo, yeah, you're right. Mo is like 80 years old at this point. Oscar is just like a 25-year-old guy that just like wrapped him.
Mo looks like he probably had like a best of seven series against like Dick the Bruiser or something.
Yeah, in like the 50s.
He made a team with Bobo Brazil.
Yeah. That's racist, sir.
Well, Bobo Brazil's an old wrestler.
Okay. I mean,
a popular wrestler, just like Mo.
No, Ivan Putski, though. You went with the... No, I'm just a little whip. Oh, this is not going to go well. Everyone's whipping each other into... Oh, okay, all right. Well, they had to... No communication, obviously, in the ring right now because they almost Irish whipped each other. Shawn Michaels is a skin the cat.
You could tell that Pat Patterson had a lot of responsibilities going on at this time.
Yeah,
this is
right around the time, I think, when he left his post for a little bit. I could look at the timeline again, but
isn't this when Vince was on trial?
Yeah, this is Vince was on trial, and then it wasn't Patterson, wasn't it? Someone took over a little bit more. It wasn't Bill Watts at that point. He came in, and I think this might have been maybe
Watts
was Bill
like. Watts. Watts was like 95,
I think. That's what I thought, maybe. Okay, so I don't know who this was.
Because by the time Watts came in, Michaels had a lot more power.
Yeah, I think this was Jerry Jarrett had a pretty big part in it.
Well, that would explain Jeff Jarrett.
Yes. Speaking of, Greg Valentine in the ring, so.
Extremely underrated Greg Valentine. You forget him.
I never liked him, but I guess I never went back and watched a lot of the old 70s and 80s things that he had. I've heard those are pretty good, because I've always just watched, like, the Royal Rumble, but, Greg Valentine.
Well, I mean, he's very much a product of the era. He works that slow, methodical style, but for a guy who's so soft and pudgy-looking, he had really good cardio. He could go long and not work a plotting sort of pace.
And they would always do the narrative work, because every Rumble he was in, he lasted, like, 25,
40 minutes. Oh, yeah. Well, it took him 20 minutes to warm up.
Yeah, yeah. Or they would always say, you know, the 15 or 20 minutes to warm up. This one, I'll do a little bit of a... Oh, okay, all right.
Have you ever seen the Piper-Valentine Starrcade match?
I have not, no.
That is good.
I'll have to check that out.
83 Starrcade, it is a bloodbath. It is proto-ECW.
Yeah, I really gotta watch the Valentine NWA stuff, because that's where I really never watch a ton of that, and I think that's where he really shined a little bit.
Yeah, late 70s when he was teaming with Flair as a...
Mabel doesn't really know how to do chops, so he just kind of open hand slaps until he gets bored.
He just kind of nipple tickled a guy.
Got bored of it.
When you're 500 pounds, pretty much anything you do is going to be...
Why do they keep whipping? Okay. Why would you... okay.
Because it's a big fat guy move.
So they had... Okay, so Mo and Mabel decided to whip one of them into the corner to hit Bam Bam Bigelow. Guess which one they whipped? It was Mo that they ended up whipping, who's half the size of Bam Bam.
Well, really, I mean, how are you going to whip Mabel?
Crush got Shawn Michaels on his head. Oh, it's not good. We hadn't quite gotten to the awful stereotypes that 95 would be. This is still... I mean, we've had a few in this show, but this tamed by stereotype standards for Vince McMahon.
Man, this one really whips along.
Yeah, it's quick. And that 90 seconds, I think, has a big part of it.
It does.
Because that, like, the 95 one is
over. Tatanka's like, number 21.
Yeah, we're already at 21, and we're...
And it's blown through.
Yeah. We're only about 25 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
Ring's starting to fill up, though. There's a lot of guys in the ring right now. Kind of getting a lull here, but not bad.
Yeah, we're in that mid-period of the Rumble where... It's pretty much, you can go to the bathroom now before...
I'm trying to see a heavy blend of, as you mentioned, like kind of the new generation with a little bit of the old, where you have the Bam Bam, you know, maybe a Crush I would put in the old generation, then you have a Mabel. Yeah, then you have a Mabel and a Shawn Michaels, kind of the new... I need to do a mullet count here. I think we're down, we're pretty low.
So good mullets have been knocked out. But Shawn Michaels counts for like two or three here.
Yeah, we got Shawn Michaels, so he's two. Valentine does not have a mullet. Crush has one. Who else do we have in there? Oh, Tatanka's got a pretty impressive one.
Tatanka's got one, Sparky's got a decent one, and Crush has a...
So we're only four.
There's some quality mulletage. See, one of the things that I've liked over the years is they've learned WWF, WWE, this is the time of the Rumble to throw in the little mini angles.
Yeah, yeah.
Have the guys come in.
We haven't seen a whole lot of those in this one.
No, this one was pretty much just Diesel gets his push, and then we put guys in until it's time for the end.
Yeah. Great Kabuki. So if you're watching ESPN Classic, you probably see him a lot. He's on all the old Global. I know he was on there a lot.
I remember him from World Class.
That was it. Yeah.
Well, I think he might have been in Global.
Was he in Global too? I don't remember. Yeah, I remember Gary Hart was always his announcer.
Yeah, pretty much everything in Texas, he would find his way in. And
okay, just looking ahead, I think you're gonna have to pull it up because Tender's coming out soon, so we need to see what theme music he has. And also Made in the USA, Lex Luger, who's coming out next. Not to spoil anybody, but I can't. I can hardly contain my excitement.
I wish Luger had
his... Okay, so everybody's teaming up on Mabel. So Mo is on the other side of the ring with his arms on his... Oh, he just... Okay.
At least he's getting hit.
Before he wasn't, but now we're good. So now Shawn Michaels. Now we have everybody trying to get Mabel out of here. So we're trying to get a little precursor to the 95 King of the Ring here. Hey, by the way, this guy is going to go to
he's
SummerSlam.
He's really
fat, by the way,
Mabel.
Yeah, they might have had to do that to actually like justify getting... Or like literally get
he just laid... He was on the ground. He's like, I can't get up.
Yeah, so he's on the ground. So Mabel finally out of there. Mabel lasted 9 minutes. That was a long 9 minutes. But Valentine's
9:57.
Yeah, not bad.
We'll give him 10.
We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys it took to get Mabel out of there. Interesting.
Well, that's about one guy per 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've definitely gotten better about giving something to sort of latch onto in the middle of the Rumble.
Yeah, and even like the ones before this, there was a lot of that.
Yeah.
This
one and here nothing. Comes Lex.
Yeah. I hear he's going to WrestleMania to face the champion, by the way.
That's...
Not to spoil it for anybody.
Only if you're a Buffalo newspaper writer.
Yeah. That's it.
I actually read Luger's book recently, and
how is it?
It's very... Lugery, but
yeah, I was gonna say, yeah,
it's pretty honest about some things, and you can tell that he's sad about a lot of things in life.
Kabuki out, yeah.
Kabuki is out. He did not get to miss anybody.
We're back to that's a solid mullet, so that has increased our mullet count.
All right. Lex Luger is in the ring here.
Yeah.
He's
oily.
He's all roided and gleaming and very honest in his book about his whole relationship with Elizabeth and how that transpired.
Yeah. Oh.
Which is just so sad.
Just a weird fall for both of them. So he tossed Kabuki out. I remember they attacked him before.
Apparently. Oh, yeah.
He's really selling that attack. I don't know what. Yeah, let's get this volume up. We got Tenryu coming out, so I need to. This is always important to see. First off, he'll be called Tenryu because Japanese people only have one name, so they will. Because Vince cannot possibly pronounce his first name. So.
Vince trying to pronounce Genichiro could be amazing.
We'll find out.
That
I could be wrong.
A minute and a half there.
I could be totally wrong. I don't know. We'll see.
It's really the most exciting thing of this Rumble, except for the ending. steel forearm.
Yeah, was the steel still in there, or did he get it out when he became main in the USA, Lex Luger? Did he take it out?
I think it was still in there, because it came back when he was in WCW.
Yeah, okay. I just thought out of respect.
But I think it was American-made steel at that point.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, he replaced it.
It was like straight out of Pittsburgh.
Where they play hard-nosed football because they make steel.
And they rape people. Because their quarterbacks are made of steel.
All right, here it is. Five. I can't wait. Okay, so we don't get any music, but we get There Is Tenryu. So maybe they didn't have music during the entrances. That was a newer thing, but...
Yeah, that...
I'm sure he'll make a lot of mentions of his exploits in Japan.
I hope he calls him a promising young rookie.
Yeah. Calls Cologne, youngster here. That was the, what was it,
93 was he in?
Yeah, maybe that one. Yeah, maybe 93 where Monsoon calls Carlos Colon, 45-year-old Carlos Colon, a fiery youngster, even though he did business with Carlos Colon like 25 years ago.
It's like you were in Puerto Rico wrestling against him
like 30 years ago. How old do you think he is? Like, Gorilla Monsoon. So, okay, unfortunately, the Tenryu
was
no music at this point, I guess. I'm sure he's making a comment right now about his martial arts expertise and crescent kicks. And
oh.
A little stiff shot, and then a little shout out to somebody in the front row that enjoys stiff chops. A young Dave Meltzer in the front row. They had to be who he's talking to, right?
Most likely.
Providence
Unless
Rhode
it was maybe Vladimir, the super fan.
It was super fan, a big fan of Work Rate. What about that other dude, the one that looked like Mick Foley? What was that guy's deal?
I don't know.
You know who I'm talking about, though, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, he was at ECW and all that, too.
Yeah, because he was at ECW shows all the time. He was Faith No More guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Along with Hat Guy and Sign Guy.
For whatever, Vlad always seemed to really, like, for a guy that went to every single show, he was still, like, just, like, hated all the bad guys.
Oh, he was, he was the Ultra Mark. I mean, he actually appeared one, he actually got to be involved in a angle at MSG with Hogan once.
Did he? Oh, nice.
Yeah. Like, nothing big. He just, like, got to announce that his mystery partner was going to be Roddy Piper.
So we had a countdown. Nobody came out. Judging by my sheet, it was apparently the Bastion Booger. So, unfortunately, Mike Shaw was not able to join us.
I'm taking this one star off this Rumble right now.
Yeah, we do one out of five ratings, but this one's now, it was a three, it's now...
Yeah, this just went down because we're not going to get
to see. So what was the reason for this?
I have no idea.
Maybe they were explaining it right now, we can't hear it, because my thing just says unable to compete. So apparently, like, some backstage angle between Bash and Booger, and they had nobody else on the roster to even, like, fathom.
I'm
going to
assume that he just, like, went to the bathroom and forgot that it was his turn.
They could just, like, take Quang's mask off and just be like, it's some Puerto Rican guy.
Sammy Omega!
It's some Puerto Rican guy! Or who else was gone that could easily come back?
They could,
Virgil, who cares?
Virgil. Send Virgil out there again.
Put Virgil in the Quang mask or something. And then something with Quang. Jeff Jarrett could come back.
Jerry Lawler had to be lurking around somewhere.
Well, no.
Oh, that's right.
He was lurking around.
He was lurking in other places.
Yeah, right now. So, yeah, no. I don't think Jerry was available. But you could have dusted off one of the USWA guys. Exactly. Call was New Jack there at that point? Dirty White Boy. Call Dirty White Boy. He'll come in.
Steve Dahl had to be backstage.
Yeah, one of the two members of Well Done. I know, because one of the ones of Well Done was, I don't know.
Maybe a Heavenly Body was lurking around
there. Pritchard's got to be there somewhere. Martel. So this is his last big hurrah. He would he came back in the 95 Rumble, but he hadn't wrestled. He I just looked this up. That's why I know I'm not actually a Rick Martel aficionado or historian. But I'm writing a book on Rick Martel.
As the president curious. Of the Rick Martel fan club.
Yeah. The book's due out in November, so...
It was one
I just
the,
need to find someone to publish it.
I just love the randomness when Rick Martel came back in, like, 98 or 99
yeah,
WCW.
Yeah, 98, yeah. And then he actually got like, a TV title run, and
yeah,
then ended
he
up,
was,
like...
He was doing great.
Yeah, he ended up having a bunch of injuries. I know Booker T, he, like, tore the hell out of his knee.
Yeah, he tore his knee up, like, Wendell Davis style.
Yeah, and then later, he came back, like, some, like, 8 months later or something like that, and, like, his first match back, he took, like, two steps and, like, tore his knee again, which was like, all right, no. Like... Never mind. I'm gonna go sell real estate, which he actually does. So
I didn't know that.
I don't know where, because I would buy a house from Rick Martel.
Oh God, yeah. It's kind of like how I've always thought it'd be fun to do like a full wrestling road trip to find all the old wrestlers working in various
just
jobs.
Construction. It'd mostly be construction, and like I think there's a lot of real. So you have real estate.
Lots of real estate. Lots of car sales.
Construction, car sales, real estate, and then like owning shitty gyms that are going to close down at any moment.
So. I think the best one possible would be Haku works as a car detailer.
That's awesome.
Could you imagine going in there and being like, yeah, you know what? There's still a spot on
there.
Oh, like, dear God,
there was
please,
what?
Sir.
Yeah.
Someone's
I don't
losing
think
an eye.
A great job, yeah. I think, is Mr. Fuji still like a ticket taker at a movie theater? I heard
I
that.
I think he might be too
well.
Sick
That's...
now. I've heard that he was
right.
in very
he?
Poor
yeah.
health. But he was for a long time.
Yeah, I saw him. He was on. They interviewed him for that top 50 or the 50 moments.
Yeah,
in WWE history, and he looks real bad.
Yeah, well,
Don Morocco, on the other hand, looks fantastic. Like of all the guys that I thought would like die of like horrible heart attacks. Speaking of hearts, Bret Hart is limping down the ring right now. He'll be there any moment. He's
selling it.
His leg was kicked out of his leg earlier, and he had the knee injury before when his leg was kicked out of his leg, but that only made it worse. So he's a. He's getting down there. Ted DiBiase is calling him stupid. I definitely heard that. So. Ted, you'll see. Ring is huge. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys
there
in the ring.
Ten
right
guys
now.
In here.
That's rare.
And yeah, this is definitely that spot where you need just.
There just wasn't any angles in this one. That's where we're kind of watching this now. I mean, we're down to. I mean, Bret Hart's number 27.
Yeah,
you're just not getting it. Like, what is being like? A lot of these, you can kind of look towards WrestleMania and be like, "Oh, they're building that for WrestleMania. They're building that or whatever for WrestleMania." I mean, the Crush Randy Savage was barely even built. I guess like, I mean, Bret Hart's sort of being built, but he was more built than the Owen Hart the tag match. And Owen was already out of the ring. He didn't do much.
Yeah, this is perhaps the least intricately plotted Rumble.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Bam Bam did a little bit with Doink, but not much. And then I'm trying to think of I mean, who the hell? What did Mabel? They faced the Quebecers, didn't they? On
Yeah,
I believe. That wasn't, 10. I mean, they're nowhere to be seen. Yeah, this was,
This Rumble really was just,
hey, okay, have a Rumble.
Guys, go
the
out
ending.
There.
Yeah, here's the ending, and there you
go. They put all of their effort into coming up with that ending, and that pretty much shot their creative wad.
There's Fatu coming in. It's amazing to think of how long this guy was in the WWF.
Now, what difference is he making here?
He hadn't yet decided to make difference. He was still just a Samoan. It was 2 years down the line when he realized kids started doing drugs, and the only way to stop that
must have been a shock to Vince McMahon when he found out about people doing drugs.
Yeah. And then he decided to walk the streets wearing a red jacket to ensure that people stopped doing drugs.
He's like a guardian angel. Not the guardian angel,
mind
you.
Ray Trailer, of course. Who was doing that gimmick at the exact same time?
Well, Ray Trailer was doing that gimmick in, like, 94.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, right. He was... man, everybody, like, who has been eliminated in a while? I mean, there is, look at the rundown of this. Like, you have Shawn Michaels, 21 minutes, Mo, 29 minutes. No, 22, sorry. Shawn Michaels.
Greg Valentine gets 20.
We have, like, five straight guys that get 20 minutes, and a guy before that, and Bam Bam that gets 30.
Bigelow's at 30, Sparky
Crush
Plug.
Gets 25. Jesus.
Yeah, this really is the Rumble where they're...
Is this, like, where they met it up on their subs? They're like, whenever you guys want to get eliminated, just get eliminated. And all these guys are, like, going into business for themselves. They're like, all right, sorry, like... Because we're going to come to a point now where a lot of these guys are going to have to get out of here, right? Like, and I don't even remember how half this ring, because we only have two more guys left to go.
Yeah. And it's like, looking at this, I don't think there's not, like, anyone who's going to do any... Oh, there goes Crush.
Oh, finally.
Yeah, it's pretty much just at some point everyone's just, let's start flinging ourselves slowly over the
Marty Jannetty, of course, wearing the same ring attire he had in 1983, so...
Now, is this the Rumble that he got fired directly after?
Oh, no, it was Rumble 92.
92?
Yeah. Oh, he goes right at Shawn. So, okay. Track of, all right, so that's cool. That's
there's
cool.
Some angle development.
Yeah, they're doing something there, so that's pretty cool. No, it was 93 where he was, like, high or drunk or whatever, and they had actually an okay match after, but yeah, right afterwards, immediately, he got to the back, and they were like, okay, bye.
Yeah, keeping track of Marty Jannetty's firings.
Yeah, there was, like, six more times.
It's like Billy Martin. Right now.
Yeah.
He gets fired, he comes back. He gets fired, he comes back.
Oh, Tenru.
Could have at least laid just one good stiff kick in there.
Shawn Michaels hates Tenru right now, by the way. Shawn Michaels just went for a super kick, and Tenru just kind of like casually walked in the way. So Shawn's going to go back and tattle on Vince, and...
Sadly depriving us of what I'm sure was going to be a long Tenru run in WWF. I'm sure he had Intercontinental title written all over him.
How sweet would that have been? Because that would truly be Intercontinental.
Oh, yeah.
Versus, like, the usual Intercontinental champion, which is some random dude.
I've always been confused why they... I mean, I guess because it's North and South America, but... since that was the pretend lineage.
Yeah, because Rio de Janeiro, of course. Yeah. Of course, it was won at a tournament in Rio de Janeiro.
Exactly. It unified the North American and
it's
South
amazing
American
how
titles.
Many big title changes happen in Rio de Janeiro without any video. One day.
Well, I mean, they're only getting video for the Olympics.
That's true. So we are down, I think this will be number 30, yes, yeah, in 2 seconds we'll have number 30, and it is...
It's my other nemesis!
Yes, the guy also did not like... I was hoping we were going to get some Crush Atom Bomb interplay, but we did. Alright, so he's got a red tongue and yellow eyes, I think, so I don't know.
And
what
really...
is he supposed to be? Is he supposed to, like... Was he contaminated, or is he literally a bomb?
You know,
I'm sorry
know.
I'm asking you these Vince McMahon.
It's a tough one. I mean, judging by the orange color of his
he's
skin,
got radiation
I'm saying
poisoning,
contamination.
Yeah, so he's got radiation poison and thus cancer, but it apparently does not affect him because he's still ripped beyond belief. So was he supposed to? Oh, maybe he's like radioactive. Like,
well, that's
like
the thing. It's exactly. It's comic book logic.
Okay, all right.
If you're near any sort of weird natural disaster, it actually makes you stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But he's got the gloves of a guy that would like work with.
Like, well, it's respect to the workers who who were not able to become better men because of the radiation.
Yes, that's true. Okay, so now in the we got like 15 people in the ring. I'm not making any sense of what's
they're
going on.
They're all terrible. if there's not really good description happening, it's because there is literally nothing happening.
So Bret Hart just tossed Thurman Sparky Plug, so that the spark plug had a, as mentioned, a 21-minute run.
It's at that moment where everyone is just randomly like flailing punches and kicks at each other. And laying on ropes.
Yeah, I mean, we're done with the guys now, so we'll have to see. Hopefully, a lot of times these goes, like, real quick. And yeah. I just looking at where, yeah, it's going to be in about another 2 or 3 minutes where just everybody just kind of flies out of the ring all at once.
At this point, I was betting on Greg Valentine.
Yeah.
I figured he was due.
I got Tenru. Oh, no, actually, Shawn, they made an audible. Shawn did that already. And they made an audible. So Tenru, who was planned on winning.
All of their plans for 94 got thrown off there.
The way of the super kick.
Just think, we could have had some sort of Tenru versus Misawa interpromotional
feud. That's what I'm saying.
Feud.
That's license print money in 94. Business was in the shits, you do that. Because business wasn't in the shits in Japan, so just leech off of them.
Exactly.
Should have brought Misawa in for this. It would have been great. He would have came, right? He gets eliminated by like Atom Bomb or something. It's just like, oh, all right.
And in all of Bret Hart's books, I think that's one of my favorite parts is his complete no-sell of Misawa.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
He's just like, some young boy named Misawa took over the Tiger Mask character, but he was obviously no Satoru Sayama.
I don't know what ever happened to that guy. Never did anything important in my life. I do remember that. It was very odd, because I was like, And I had to actually look it up to just, like, confirm that it was, like, I was like, that's the Misawa, though, right? Like, why? Yeah,
same one.
Why is Mo still in the ring, for God's sakes? How long has Mo been?
Because he hasn't been able to get up the energy to go over the top.
22 minutes for Mo. Maybe we don't need to have Mo out for that long. This is one where they really didn't want to, like, make anybody look strong or anybody look weak. It was just, like, as you said, yeah, it was go out there for... Yeah, I mean, the action's fine. It's just there's not much...
Nothing matters in this Rumble except Diesel and the finale.
Yeah.
It's like you could have put any other guys in any other order, and nothing changes about this match.
Jeez, Mo. Why is Mo still in? Come on, Mo.
Bam Bam Bigelow's asking, can you handle it? Can you get over the top?
Yeah.
And he's saying, not yet.
Dude, I don't know if Bam Bam can. He's like, he's at like 30 minutes.
Oh, Bam
you can tell,
can.
Look at him. He's like, he can't even walk. staggering. Yeah, not. We got Jannetty's out in the corner. Someone's up. Shawn Michaels. Bret Hart's trying to get.
There's a lot of laying and.
Yeah. The big guys are up. The mullets. We got Tatanka trying to take out Michaels. That's not really going anywhere.
One of these guys is not like the other. Tatanka, Michaels, and Bret Hart.
Yeah. Well, now Adam Bomb has joined the fray, so.
After all, only one of them's ever had an undefeated streak.
The Nightmare Wrath. Yeah, exactly. Heard the hammer sort of punching. I guess that the hammer and Val, or hammer and Martel, Valentine and Martel going back. So that yeah. I guess we can count that as like a pseudo, but they just did it on accident.
That's just two guys who happened to.
Yeah, they're like, hey, I don't know who the rest of these morons are. They don't know how to wrestle, so you want to be methodical over here with me?
Right, yeah. Now they're telling stories about 1982 working for Ole Anderson or something.
Yeah, remember that time? Yeah, that steakhouse and. Yeah, they're not really doing anything but just hugging each other, including just chatting.
This is seriously the...
They're looking for a steakhouse in Providence.
And... they're like, how long a drive is it to Kowloon? We always get fed for free there. Speaking of steakhouses, I just have to give CM Punk credit for pulling out the Ribera jacket last
week. That was pretty
sweet,
yeah.
I've been tempted a few times on eBay when people have auctioned Ribera jackets to get one of those. So I'm pretty sure if you wear that to a wrestling show, any wrestler who's ever been there is allowed to beat you half to death for it.
Is that true? Yeah, that's probably because you have to actually be given it.
You've like, got
to
earn your steakhouse jacket.
Oh, Valentine just fell off and I don't think he was supposed to, but that's okay.
No one cares.
Oh, but you said Valentine was going to win this. He was due. Speaking of playing,
you don't even
want to
know how much I lost that night.
Yeah. Can't believe it.
I figured Valentine at 6-1 odds.
Yeah,
how could I miss?
Martel out. Tatanka's... knocked him out, so now we're down to, we still have... I mean, at this point, who hypothetically can win this thing? Let's kind of look at that. I always like to look at that. You have, really, at this point, Shawn Michaels. I don't know if that's ever true.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, you could say he's got a chance.
He's got an off chance. You have Bret Hart.
Bret Hart, Luger. That's really... I mean, if
Tenru,
you... Tenru's
I mean, this is a star
choice.
From, you know... the land of the rising sun, a martial arts expert from
the
land
scary
of the
thing
sun.
Is in 94 you could have probably talked yourself into Tatanka.
Yeah,
I mean, it would have been an idea that even back then I would have said this is a bad one, but you could have.
Well,
now
he's
you
gone.
Can't.
Yeah, so now he's gone. So, all right, we're down to Bam Bam, Samu or Fatu. Actually.
Fatu is in there.
Fatu, sorry,
Jannetty,
Michaels, Bret Hart, and then
Luger,
Tenru, and Tenru. Don't forget Tenru. I'm telling you, I think Tenru's going to win this. I haven't watched this in forever, so I don't really know how it ended, so...
Tenru eliminates everybody and goes on to a 12-year reign as WWE champion.
Only to be upset by Jack Swagger when he cashes his money in the bank.
Jack Swagger of Mars. Shout out to Brandon Stroud.
Fatu trying to get Bret Hart out, that would be impressive.
I like his chances.
Man, they must have, like, because I think...
Bigelow might actually die.
Oh, why did he do that? Bigelow just did the freaking, like, the Bret Hart, or, like, the Shawn Michaels where he flips up spot. And we did it, like, infinitely slower than how Shawn Michaels does it.
It took him about 4.5 seconds.
Margetti out. Jannetty out. Shawn Michaels got Mario Jannetty. So now we have Luger, Michaels, Fatu, Bret Hart, and Tenru. Bret Hart really working over Tenru.
Bret Hart's getting revenge for being treated poorly in Japan in 1981.
FMW, yeah.
He's like, Hiroshi Hase stiffed me once back in Osaka, so someone's
going
to pay
get
for
it,
this.
Yeah.
Oh, Tenru's about to take out two guys.
Take that foot, too.
One of them Samoan.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I knew it was going to happen.
Work.
Yes. The Japanese dudes love doing this, because I watched 95, Dick Murdoch comes in there, and he starts doing with these guys. I think they just love the idea that these dudes like can't be headbutted, because like, these old workers and Japanese dudes just always go right at the Samoans and try to headbutt them. I wonder if people forgot that they didn't do that, but they're like so good at their characters, like, oh no, I don't get, like, you know what I mean? Like, did Tenru know that that was, Tenru with the chops, man, let's go. By the way, it'd be another 8 years until Fatu would, like, he'd become a star, or a six, it was six, it was.
Yeah, 5-6 years, 2000.
That's amazing to think that this, like, 6 years later was 2000, and then that, like, look at now, like, 6 years.
6 years ago, it's the Actually, no, I can't say it's the exact same product. 6 years ago, it was pretty awful, WWE.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, in-ring, we're a lot better. Tenru, unfortunately, has been eliminated, so that sucks. Final four, Bret Hart, Luger,
I no longer care now about
Shawn
any
Michaels,
of these
and Fatu. So you can turn this off, because I don't care, because
Oh. Tenryu's trying to get back
He's
in.
Like, no, I don't know how rules work.
In Japan, you get to be eliminated twice.
Yeah, double elimination. That'll work.
It's round robin style.
This is bullshit.
Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels fighting.
Yep.
It's a shame that never came of them, too.
Bret Hart really selling the, on the leg. Not really much anymore, but that's all right. Whatever.
He sold it on care. The limp down. That's all you got to ask
I
for.
I am good. Whatever. Ico Pro banner in the background.
That was...
Did you ever... how much Ico Pro did you purchase? So much.
You know...
As a bodybuilding 13-year-old.
I got big, but you don't want to know the side effects.
Oh, Ico Pro. What if you can still find... Are those still on eBay? And the next time you see the Ribera jacket, let me know if there's some Ico Pro, like protein powder or something on there.
I wonder if Vince is ever going to go for the bodybuilding thing one more time. I mean, because now that, like, Joe Weider's dead, there's a hole in the industry.
Yeah. I don't know. You mean in terms of wrestlers or, like,
anything.
Making products again? Or just
trying it.
It's actually, you know, he was ahead of the game, because now they're like... You got guys, you know, your Phil Heaths of the world and your Colemans and all that stuff. He'd be over. They're big stars now. At that point, not really.
I actually saw the 93 WBF thing.
Oh, no. God. What was that like? Other than Vince McMahon's wet dreams.
The most...
homoerotic.
It's hard to describe.
Luger's not doing, like, fighting spirit right now. So that's
what's
going on. There's the...
He's going full Kawada, so. His slaps imbue every person with strength. But yeah, lots of guys in capes flexing.
Yeah. So they whip at each other. Michaels jumps over. Oh, wow. Both of them get tossed over the top.
Michaels takes an insane bump.
Yeah.
As he wants to do.
And then the guardrail. And now we have Bret Hart, Lex Luger.
Now, here's... We're getting to the ending, and... Obviously, this is what it is. I'm assuming anyone who's insane enough to be listening to a podcast about the 94 Rumble has seen the 94
Rumble. I gotta
hope
so.
Or at least knows what they're dealing with here.
We're not going to do play-by-play for this.
The simultaneous ending.
Yes. So they're both out of the ring now.
They're both out of the ring. And watching it, and the way that it's run these next couple minutes, they do such a good job of making it seem like this might not have been the plan.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, okay. I gotcha.
And watching it, it was so exciting because it was something out of the ordinary.
Yeah, because usually everything was so structured or whatever. Because you get they do the thing where they do the arm raises a while. Like,
yeah.
And you're like, no. And, I'm sure Lex Luger won.
And that's the thing is, at the time, I mean, I knew that wrestling wasn't real. I wasn't some sort of derpy mark who's like, I don't know. I mean, you know, I was
really beating them up.
I wasn't reading The Observer.
Yeah,
I wasn't like reading Meltzer on a daily basis or something. So the idea that something different could happen was not impossible.
Right, yeah.
And it was the first time that something broke that mold of what normally happens.
Mm-hmm.
Conquering hero.
Right.
Wins Royal Rumble by throwing bad guy out of ring.
Okay, yeah, I got you here. No, that makes a lot of sense.
And you start to see moments like that happen over the next 18 months.
Yeah, because you have Earl just shouting at Finkel.
Yeah, there's confusion, and it looks different.
Yeah, they're shooting it a lot differently.
And it's not cartoonishly different, like when Hulk Hogan's dealing with the twin referees
Andre
the Giant.
Hey, that is awesome. You bite your tongue, sir.
Well, that was an amazing moment. I mean, how much plastic surgery did Earl Hebner have to do to look like Dave?
That $1 million man. I love that's how they started. Before they thought of, oh, he has a twin, it was like, oh my God, they had this guy get millions of dollars worth of plastic surgery to look exactly like Earl Hebner, as opposed to going with the...
He just brought him a twin.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you start to see things like this. The moment where Shawn Michaels has his... injury from Owen Hart's Enziguri.
Okay, no, I got you.
The Diesel speech. It's like these two, this 2.5 year period where they weren't really sure how to grow up yet.
Right, yeah.
I mean, Hogan's still coming and going and coming and going. Mm-hmm. He was finally gone by this point.
Yeah, he was done. Yeah, no, definitely. And then the only thing that really held back 95, because 95 overall was, I thought, a pretty okay year, but you just had such of the ridiculous characters and stuff that just
made
it.
They weren't sure how to make it.
And they would still do the Mabel Moe thing, but you started to see even towards the late 95 when you saw that. I mean, that Bulldog Bret Hart match, it was just a bloodbath or whatever. That's where you started seeing a little bit of like the
I mean, it's...
They're starting to differentiate themselves a little bit.
Yeah, the old generation and the more cartoonish guys are starting to fade away.
Oh, Tunney. If anything's going to make this all right, it's Jack Tunney. One kid wanted a high five from Jack Tunney. The rest of them were just shouting at him like he's in...
I miss Jack Tunney-style characters.
God, I miss the authority figure that was just came in when you needed him.
Yeah, and an just impartial authority figure. Yeah.
It was like, hey, I mean,
it's like, could you imagine if Roger Goodell, like... went down in favor of one team at all times, or if David Stern was...
Or if before the freaking game,
David Stern's
they're like,
not a good example.
Yeah, David Stern is probably... like, imagine, like, Goodell, like, so they just have every... So he walks out before a game and is like, all right, no, actually, this game is not going to be the Cleveland Browns versus the New England Patriots. It's going to be the Cleveland Browns versus the Packers. And, like, oh, my God, like, the Packers have to come in, like... You know what I mean? Like that's what we have now with these authority figures. It's exactly. Like you run a really like this this you call it the longest episodic show or whatever, all this garbage, but then it's made in 2 seconds.
Yeah,
the announcer's like, you know what? No, you're facing your home. Yeah, there you go. Get out there. It's like why are we like?
Well, it's weird because it turns it into such an odd universe where it's just people who follow each other from city to city, dressing up in their underwear and fighting from time to time.
They did a good job this too. I remember they're showing the replays right now. Yeah, we'll eventually do the final because I mean you know what happens. They both land and the way they do, they announce them as both winners after a lot of discussion, but. They did a good job of both men really trying to land at the same time, which I thought would be very hard to do.
Yeah, Well, it helped that they did a good job of letting it sort of tumble so one guy's foot's hitting and another guy's foot's hitting. Yeah, yeah. So it's really hard to keep track of whose limbs
are.
For
a guy
where.
Like Lex Luger, I mean, Jesus. It's a miracle he didn't screw this up. Like, I have no doubt that Bret Hart would have made this work, but like someone like Luger is just like...
Well, the thing is, Luger's an amazing athlete. He's just... doesn't
klutz, yeah.
Yeah, he's not even a klutz. He just didn't know what to do.
that's my favorite part.
And that's what sells it. Howard Finkel's like, wait a minute. That's what my favorite doing part. Here?
He goes out there and says, that's my favorite Finkel part. He goes, the winner of the 1994 Royal Rumble is... And then he looks at Tunney like, wait, what? Because he said something and then was like, oh, okay, that I deem that an okay answer. I will announce it right now. And then 20 seconds later, he's like, wait, no. I don't like that answer at all.
The confusion was just so well done here.
So yeah, so this part's really cool. So while all this is going on, obviously everybody knows how it sort of ends. What would you give this Rumble? We're doing 1 out of 5 rankings. What would you give this guy?
I'd give it. I mean, overall, it's terrible. It's serious, but it's historically one of the most important.
Yeah,
it's got one of the most unique finishes. It sets the template for the diesel push person that happens in almost every Rumble. How about a 2.5? Five.
That's fine. We can do halves. Halves are allowed to, yeah.
It's a 4 on the historical scale.
Yeah, but on the...
And it's really the moment that they transition away from Luger and the Hulk Hogan archetype.
Yeah.
Start to have to give runs to people like Michaels, Hart.
Yeah, Diesel.
Yeah, I mean, even Diesel, but Diesel really, his failure was kind of the last gasp of the Hogan archetype.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's try it again.
Take a virtuous big man and let him fight against little people, against evil big people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, historically, it's huge for that. But like we said, nothing's happening in this.
No, yeah, I have to give it a 2 out of 5 as well. I mean, I can maybe do a 3 just because I thought the ending was pretty cool. And I thought it wasn't boring at any point, but there just wasn't. No,
it definitely flows along really fast. But if you're...
The stories within the stories aren't there. It's very
if
much
if you're
a,
just sitting there watching it by yourself, not doing anything, it's going to be a slow, hard go.
Yeah. You should probably vacuum the house or something and then turn back and be like, oh, what's going on now? Oh, Kabuki. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, Kabuki.
Exactly. Watch with some friends, get something to drink, have a couple drinks.
Maybe 3.
Yeah, and it becomes an... Have a drink every time you see someone with a mullet.
Yeah. Oh, dear God.
Only one per mullet, mind
you. Okay.
I don't want to encourage anyone to drink themselves to death here.
Yeah, that'd be death. So, all right. So, is this finishing up here? We'll wrap up this guy. But anyway, any last thoughts on the Royal Rumble 94 or any other good stuff?
It's the first moment where you're really starting to make the transition into the modern wrestling.
I like that. I had never heard that before. So that's an interesting theory that this is the
it's a
the
slow hint,
the
one.
Peak the small peak into the Attitude Era. So this I definitely like that.
This is where we start to see wrestling have to grow up along with the fan base that was growing up with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So
everyone was gone. In the match before, you have the most cartoonish, ridiculous ending ever.
And this is hyper-realistic. Yeah.
And this is them. This is exactly the exact opposite. They're trying to do something that looks like it could be a shoot, something that looks unplanned. they're having to have put over a technical wrestler, a smaller wrestler. And Kevin Nash begins his reign of terror that eventually leads to everything changing.
Yes, exactly.
If Kevin Nash doesn't get this push here, who knows?
NWO doesn't exist.
Maybe there's no NWO. Okay. Maybe there's no Steve Austin. This is one of the most important nights of bad wrestling ever.
You made it way more important. And then we had the urn, of course. Of course, we watched the Royal Rumble 94. So, Sean, I want to thank you again for letting me into your humble abode to do this Royal Rumble review. Before we get out of here, though, for people that are just listening to this one, where can they sort of follow you? If they want to, I want to hear more from this weird, odd fella. How can I do that?
I have a Twitter account. It's at SPIFFIE6123.
6122 was gone, so...
It was.
Okay.
I mean, there's the first 6,122 spiffies, so I had to get in line. But yeah, I try to post odd observations from time to time, but...
Usually I was making fun of indie wrestling fans.
Which really, they deserve it. They deserve it so much, as someone who goes to many indie shows. So, rest assured, I'm a self-loathing indie wrestling fan.
As the real good ones are. The real, real good ones. So, Sean, thanks again for doing this review, and we'll see you guys next time on the Voices of Wrestling Rumble.
Take care.